everyone. This is Melody Fletcher from Deliberate Receiving. What follows today isn't one of my regular audio recordings, but something a lot more special. Oliver from The Oliver Show on 1-2 Radio interviewed me on October 6th of 2011, and this is the recording from that day. It's a bit longer than my normal recordings, but it's packed full of so much info and little stories and metaphors that you won't have read or heard before, so it's really well worth listening to. I really hope you enjoy this recording as much as I had making it. I had such a blast with Oliver. Huge hugs to all of you, and thanks for listening.
My guest tonight is an expert on the law of attraction, and I'm so excited to have her here with me. Her name is Melody Fletcher, and she is the best-selling author of Deliberate Receiving, and she knows all about the law of attraction, and I know she can talk about it for hours. So I'm just going to shut up now, introduce her, and let her talk for the next 50 minutes. How about that, Melody?
Thank you, Oliver. I want to say hi to you and all your wonderful, awesome listeners. Thank you for having me. And
it is my pleasure. It is my pleasure to have you on. Seriously, I love your website, and we're going to get into it because you truly have a no-nonsense sort of approach to the whole law of attraction. If people, they go to your website, which is called deliberateblog.com, they'll know exactly and immediately why. But Melody, no, it is my pleasure to have you on here right now. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It's the name of the site is Deliberate Receiving, and there's Deliberate Receiving Blog or Deliberate Blog. That's the address. And I hope to explain to all of your listeners why I chose the name Deliberate Receiving, because it's exactly what the law of attraction is all about. And you getting your Canadian citizenship, first of all, congratulations.
Hey.
But of course it has something to do with the law of attraction, because everything has to do with the law of attraction. The only thing is whether you realize it or not. The law of attraction is like the law of gravity. You know, you can't kind of say, like, today I'm going to use the law of gravity or I'm going to use the law of physics. It just is. But the difference is between you sort of, you know, the law of physics just sort of running around and doing their thing, or you utilizing the law of physics to create a rocket ship and going to the moon with it. That's the difference between doing this deliberately and not deliberately.
I love that. Seriously, I love that. Now, I just to sort of, you know, like, let's hit the reset button, and let's say that nobody in this world have ever heard of The Secret and the Law of Attraction, which, by the way, The Secret, which I think most of the people have heard of here in I call it the blatantly obvious, but let's just hit the reset button. Let's go back to where, let's say, nobody have ever heard of the law of attraction. You are an angel from above. You have descended on earth, and you're here to teach us all about it. What is the law of attraction?
Well, the law of attraction, I'll try to give it to you in a nutshell, but I love that you brought up The Secret, because to me, I'm going to use the rocket ship again. To me, The Secret was kind of about manifesting stuff, but it didn't give the whole picture. And sure, you can use the law of attraction to manifest, you know, a car or some money or a boyfriend, but that's a little bit like using that rocket ship to go to the grocery store to buy some milk. There is so much more to this. And to me...
No, I'm sure somebody would do that, you know?
You can do it, but there's so much more potential, you know? So to me, the law of attraction isn't just about, well, how do I get, you know, a new Ferrari? It's really a philosophy, and it's the theory of everything. And once you really understand this stuff, everything, and I do mean everything, makes sense. People make sense. Things make sense. World events make sense. And that's why I'm saying it's so much bigger than people realize that it is. But I'll try to give it to you in a nutshell, because it is, even though it's a very complex thing, it can actually be sort of boiled down into a very simple concept, just like the law of gravity. You know, you drop something, it falls to the ground. There you go. That's the law of gravity in a nutshell. So the law of attraction, as I understand it, is basically that everything is energy. Everything in our world is energy. We are energy. It's all just a bunch of atoms bumping around. And our brains are transceivers. Our brains can translate this energy into something that we perceive as physical. So when you touch something or taste it or smell it or see it or hear it, that's actually your brain just translating frequencies into something that you then perceive as physical. So all of these things have a frequency. And what you focus on is brought into your reality. And this is really the law of attraction in a nutshell, that when you focus on something, the universe will bring to it, the law of attraction will bring more things to it of that same frequency, more energy of it to the, of that same frequency. So when you focus on a thought, more thoughts are brought to it and more energy is gathered. And if you gather enough of that energy, it is brought into the physical. If it becomes big enough, it's brought into the physical. And that is exactly what the law of attraction is. So when you hear that we create our own reality, or we're much more powerful than we think we are, we actually absolutely are. We create our own reality. And everything in your reality has been brought to you by you, whether you think so or not, whether you want it or not. This is how we can, you know, if you look around your reality and you're thinking, there is no way that I would have created all of this. Uh-uh, not by choice. Mm-hmm. You created it. You brought it to you by simply focusing on something that brought it to you. And you probably did that without even knowing that that's what you were doing. And this is where the deliberate part comes in.
Okay, so, which I really, I want to ask you more about the deliberate part. But I just quickly want to go back, because you were touching upon, you know, the whole thing, what you focus on, because basically also what you focus on expands. And then back to The Secret again, you know, because I know a lot of people who saw the movie got very inspired to go out and manifest their dream life. But a lot of them also got really angry because they didn't manage to, you know, manifest that boyfriend or girlfriend or that job or those or the $1 million. And so... so what is it, you know, and that's probably what ties in with the deliberate part. So what can be done and how much focus do you actually need to, or how do you even raise that vibration and keep your focus so clear and your thoughts so clear that that is actually what's going to happen?
Right. And I know a lot of people were sort of disappointed after The Secret, and then they decided that the law of attraction is a bunch of boo-hucky because it didn't work, or it didn't work for them. It doesn't work for me, you know, because they sort of came away with the idea that if you just visualize something, if you just think about it, it's going to happen. But it's so much more complex than that. Basically, if you think about this, the idea is not that you have to create deliberately. You have to receive deliberately. Everything that you want has already been created. It's already in the non-physical. What you need to do is you need to line up with that frequency and attune to that frequency in order to receive it into your reality. So that's why I called my site Deliberate Receiving, and that's why I called my book Deliberate Receiving. So how do you attune to that frequency? Well, you attune to that frequency by focusing on it. And this is where we get into a little bit of trouble, because we are not the most accurate or deliberate of focusers. We humans tend to, you know, think about all kinds of things. And if you think about yourself as a computer, you have all kinds of software programs running. These are our beliefs. Beliefs are thoughts that we've been thinking for a long time. Mm-hmm. You have all kinds of software programs running that you're not even aware of anymore, because some of them have been there for so long that you don't even know that they're there anymore. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you want to manifest $1 million. You start thinking, I want $1 million, I want $1 million, I want $1 million. So you're thinking, well, I'm focusing on $1 million. Why hasn't my $1 million showed up yet? Well, law of attraction doesn't work, right? But you may very well have a belief that's running under there, this software program that's running under there that's saying, I don't deserve money, money is bad, rich people are evil, I'm never going to get $1 million. Whatever it is, it's negating that. And that is actually what you're giving your all your energy to. So every time you're focusing on that $1 million, you're actually triggering that underlying thought, and most of your energy is going to that. Now, how do you know when you're doing that? We have a feedback system, and a vibrational feedback system, and that's our emotion. And our emotions tell us if what we're focusing on is actually what we want, or if we're inadvertently focusing on something that we don't want. So if you're focusing on $1 million and it actually doesn't feel good to you, you are underneath, without really knowing it, focusing on something else. You have an underlying belief that is negating what you're focusing on. But if you can focus on $1 million and feel good, if you can see beautiful things and not think, oh, I could never afford that, if you can feel good about them, if you can see rich people and not be jealous or resentful but feel really good about them and think, I feel like one of you guys, then you're hitting it. Your emotions are telling you what you're attuning yourself to, or if you're attuning yourself with something that you don't really want. So if you're attuning yourself with something that you want, you're going to feel good. If you're attuning yourself with its opposite, you're going to feel bad. It really is as simple as that.
Wow. Wow, absolutely. Well, and though I'm sure that those people who are trying it are saying, it's not that simple, you know, like tearing their hair out, you know. But there are some really great questions in the chat room. But first of all, there's one from Greg, and there's also one from Livia Bliss. And I do want to, because I know that you're using this in your life for yourself, you know, daily. I mean, well, all the time, and you're very focused on it. This is what you talk about all the time. I mean, go to your incredible website, and by the way, you got tons of free stuff over there that you can sign up for, and I think you're well on your way to just deliberately receiving what it is that you truly deserve in life and what it is that you want in life. If some people in here say, you know, don't say the word want, you know, or at least desire in life. But you used it for yourself, and I know one of the places, and people can go on your website and actually read that story, but one place that you used it in your life was to lose a lot of weight.
Yes, I have released about 100 pounds, actually, and that was a huge journey, and I did part of that without even realizing what I was doing, and a lot of the lessons I learned I looked at afterwards, but part of it I did very deliberately. And again, I can't really say I used the law of attraction. Of course I used the law of attraction, you know. but that's actually spawned a book that I'm writing that I'm hoping to bring out in January, a book, a workbook, and some meditation CDs that will help people to release weight, because that's a huge issue that a lot of people suffer from. And and I hope to explain a little bit of that on the show today as well, if you let me. But that's something
really
important to a lot of people.
This is your show.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, it's going to be called Deliberately Thin, because it's, you know, it's all about deliberately losing weight. And it's about more than just losing weight. It's about becoming healthy and getting the body that you want and becoming free from food. But what most people don't realize is that weight is not a cause. Weight, or being overweight, is a symptom of something else that's running underneath. And there are three levels to losing weight. There's the psychological level, there's the physical level or nutritional level, and then there's the energetic level. And most people, when they try to lose weight, they focus on the weakest of the levels, which is the psychological level. And that's the, I don't want to eat chocolate, I'm going to eat less, I'm gonna exercise, I'm going to force myself to exercise. And it's the weakest of the levels, and this is generally why they fail, because that level doesn't really have any power. The next strongest level is the biological level, and I'll give you an example of that. Most people who are overweight these days are suffering from malnutrition. They are not getting the nutrition that they need, and this is why you can eat a meal that has 10,000 calories and still want to eat. And then you feel bad about yourself and think, why don't I have any willpower? Why can't I stop eating? Well, it's because your body is actually starving. And what you're trying to do when you try to cut down on food and even cut down on nutrition even further is you're actually fighting your body's survival mechanism. You're fighting your body's hunger mechanism. And you're never going to be able to do that with willpower, ever. So it's about feeding your body properly and giving yourself the nutrition that you need so that you're no longer fighting that hunger mechanism. And then there's the third level, the one that runs underneath all of these, and the one that's the strongest, and the one that's generally always ignored, and that's the energetic level. And that level is where your beliefs are. That's the level that caused you to be overweight in the first place. And this is the level that makes all the difference, because here's the difference between forcing yourself to try to stop eating and using energy. The difference is, instead of moving away from foods, trying to cut out foods, trying to deny yourself foods, you move towards foods that you actually want, that are actually good for you. And the foods that aren't good for you naturally gravitate out of your experience. I'll give you an example of that. I was addicted to coffee for years. And I woke up one day, and I just simply no longer wanted coffee. I wanted to stop drinking coffee for a long time. I tried to push against it. I tried to quit. Never worked. Then I used energy, and I woke up one day, and that was in January this year, and I have not had a cup of coffee since, and I haven't wanted one. I still have some psychological triggers. You know this in Spain. After dinner,
well, I know. You live in Spain for you live in Spain.
So I'll have, you know, dinner, and after dinner, I might have this thought, ooh, a cup of coffee would be really great now. But then I listen to my body, and I think, do I really want a cup of coffee? And the answer will be like, no, I really don't. So even though I still have this psychological trigger, that trigger has no power anymore because I've gotten rid of the energy. That's the difference between trying to deny yourself something and letting it gravitate out of your experience.
Wow. Melody, when we come back, I'm just going to ask you a few questions that are being asked in the chat room. So, because one, Greg wants to know if you have worked with Esther Hicks or her material, and there's also another question in there that I really want to ask you that's pretty sweet. And we're also going to get this month's feng shui tip from Salvatore Manzi. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Oliver Show here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way you listen to the world. And I'm here with my incredibly wonderful guest, Melody Fletcher. And if you haven't already gone over there to deliberateblog.com, do it right now during the break. Trust me, it's a fun place to be. Some great, great articles. And it's bound to really open your eyes and start manifesting what you truly want in your life. So you can do that during the break. We'll be right back.
Hello, yes.
And it goes so well hand in hand with the law of attraction, at least I think it does, with the law of attraction and with the wonderful work that Melody she's doing. So you guys are going to be with me for the rest of the hour, but I'm still going to be chatting with Melody about her her great book and her great work. But you, Salvatore, you have your book Feng Shui Life Mapping, which I hope everyone out there have already bought. And if not, you can tell them to do so right now. But it is a great book. And Salvatore, what is the Feng Shui tip of for October, the month of Libra?
Awesome. First of all, it's wonderful to be on here. And I am a big, huge fan of Melody. And it's wonderful to be on here with her as well. The feng shui tip for the month of October is what's called the feng shui treasure box. And this is one of those rare times that you get to break all the feng shui rules. And what I mean by this is typically we do not ever want anything underneath the bed. So the idea being that you want to have a nice, even flow of energy all the way around your mattress when you're sleeping. And so you don't want to have things underneath there. But in this case, we give you permission. And we being all of those people that practice feng shui, give you permission to have a special little thing under your bed called a treasure box. And this also ties in with the law of attraction, because what goes into your treasure box are mementos and little objects that represent what it is that you wish to manifest in your life. So two things to know about the treasure box. And the first is you want to pick a treasure box that has the right qualities to it. So if you want to have clarity in your life, you might choose a treasure box that's clear. Or if you want to have security in your life, you might choose a treasure box that has a lock on it. Or if you want to manifest some bedazzling jewelry and such in your life, you can choose a treasure box that has a lot of ornate carvings or jewel encrusted, something like that. The second thing to note is that everything you place in that box that's going to go underneath you when you sleep is going to put out this energy and magnetically attract to you tenfold whatever the intention is. So be careful what you place in there. I have a lot of people that are like, oh, okay, I want to attract money. And so they put a lot of change in there. Well, they end up collecting and attracting a lot of change. yeah, it's not exactly what you want. So I recommend get a $1 bill, a two, a five, a 10, a 20, a 100, and roll them all up and then put that in there. That way you're attracting abundance in all forms of monetary. If you want to attract more flexibility in your life, you can put a rubber band in there. If you wish to attract more time, like you don't feel like you have enough time to do things in your life, I recommend putting either a stopwatch or a watch or even a picture of a clock in there to signify you having more time. And one of the things that I really love putting in there are crystals. Using any type of crystal that has its own energetic properties already, such as amethyst, which attracts abundance, or rose quartz, which opens the heart. Crystals that energetically represent the intention which you wish to attract in your life, you can place in your treasure box as well. And the last step to this is placing the treasure box directly beneath your navel, underneath your bed. so that when you sleep, it becomes like an umbilical cord connecting you in the physical form to all the infinite riches and abundance that are out there in the universe through the treasure box. One quick question that I get a lot is people ask, do I need a separate one for me and my partner if I'm sharing the bed? Yes, you do. It's ideal if you have two separate treasure boxes. You could have one joint one that you put underneath the bed so that when you're cuddling in the middle of the bed, it's kind of beneath the two of you and you can have your joint intentions in there. But for the most part, you want to have your own unique treasure box under your bed. And that's your feng shui tip for October.
Wow, thank you so much, Salvatore. And everybody in the chat room right now, they're having a good time just being funny, you know.
Oh, dear, what's going on?
Yeah, you can check out the chat room. But thank you so much for that. You know, like, that makes sense. And it's so funny, you know, talking about law of attraction. Melody, are you actually using any kind of feng shui in your work and the work with the law of attraction that you're doing?
I'm not a feng shui expert, so I don't advise people on feng shui. But as we were talking in the break, I actually wrote a guest post for Salvatore's site a while back about the mechanics of feng shui and explained sort of from a vibrational point of view what happens. And essentially, as I said before the break, your vibration and what you focus upon determines your reality. So not just what you focus on, but your actual vibration, which you may not even be aware of, creates your reality. Well, the great thing is what you do with feng shui is you sort of reverse engineer that. You actually start to shift your reality in order to help change your vibration. And it's really fascinating how that works, but it does really work. And in terms of, I love this idea of this treasure box because it involves a lot of symbolism. And symbols are really a powerful way to connect us to frequencies. Because as human beings, I can't tell you what it feels like to connect to a certain frequency. I can't describe it to you in words. But if I give you a symbol, I can communicate that frequency to you. So this is where symbolism can come in to help people connect with certain frequencies. And this is why placing certain objects into a box like that can really help you to connect with those frequencies. So it absolutely works, and I absolutely agree with Salvatore. I just use different words to describe it than he does.
Oh, I love it. I so love it. Okay, Melody, you have to answer this question. How did you attract the guy that sat next to you on the plane on your way back to the States?
Well, actually, wow, somebody's been reading my Facebook. For those listeners who do not know what you're talking about,
I know they don't.
Currently in the United States visiting my family, and it takes me 3 planes to get here because they live in Idaho, and there's no easy way to get here. But on the plane from Barcelona to New York, which is an 8-hour flight, I got the beautiful gift of sitting next to a bona fide, gorgeous, hunky, looked like he just stepped off the calendar, New York firefighter. And he was absolutely great. 6'6". You know, gorgeous as all get out, and I'm thinking, thank you. You know? And I've actually been working on my vibration when it comes to men for quite some time, and I've been manifesting some amazing qualities in men, some very good-looking men, so clearly I've got that down. But also,
well, you live in Barcelona.
Men. I'm sorry?
You live in Barcelona.
Yeah, but that's not a very heterosexual city, as you know.
No, that it's not.
but very good-looking man. But, you know, all over the world, I've met some amazing men in the most amazing places that they're not only good-looking, but many of them very intelligent, great sense of humor, very kind, very open, very spiritual. So all of these qualities that I've been sort of defining for myself, what do I really want? And about a year ago, I got this glimpse of what a relationship could actually be. Because, I mean, just because I teach the law of attraction doesn't mean that I don't have my own vibrational issues to clean up. And I never knew that you could have a relationship with somebody. I always thought that you had to have a trade-off. Like, he was either going to have all these great qualities or he was going to be spiritual. Like, I just didn't put it together that I could have a guy in my life that would be good-looking, intelligent, have a great sense of humor, but also be really spiritual like me. And yet that's possible, and that sort of opened my eyes to what's possible. And so since then, I've been really working on my vibration. Because clearly, I had a belief that that wasn't possible, and I've been sort of releasing that belief. And it's just incredible the kind of men that the universe has started to bring to me.
Wow. That is so fantastic, which actually brings me to ask you this question. So how do you use the law of attraction to, you know, get over a breakup?
Of course, I use the law of attraction for everything. Again, just because I know this stuff, you know, if I have something happen to me and it causes me to be in pain, then I don't necessarily have the clarity to utilize all this stuff immediately. I have to work myself out of that pain before I have that clarity again. But then and sometimes it's even more annoying because there's that logical part of my brain that's going, just, you know, focus on this vibration and just meditate and do all these things. And then there's this other part of me that's just going, shut up, I'm in pain right now, you know.
But is that so that thing that you're doing there right now, is that you're talking about, is that the underlying feeling, the subconscious that make bubble to the surface there, and that sometimes has a greater impact on your life than what you're really saying that you want in life?
Exactly. Sometimes we don't pay attention to our emotions because they've been with us. Like I said, some of those software programs have been with us for a long time. So then we don't pay attention to our emotions, and we continue to feed energy to whatever it is that we're actually focusing upon until it becomes stronger and stronger and it manifests physically. So sometimes we actually have to literally be slapped in the face by something before we're willing to pay attention. This is also why we manifest, you know, physical pain or illness. These are all vibrations that have not been serving us, that have been there for a long, long time, that we have been ignoring, and they just become bigger and bigger and bigger until we finally pay attention to them. And that happens to me the same as everybody else. So I about a month ago, I manifested a slight flu, and it was the second time in 2 months that I manifested a slight flu. Well, that got my attention because I never get sick. So I had it wasn't anything horrible, but it was annoying. Well, there was something that I wasn't paying attention to that was annoying me. There was something that was a limiting belief, and because I did it twice, I was able to see the pattern of when that manifested, and then I was able to see find the trigger, and I was able to release it.
Okay, so what do you say to people like who like have a terminal illness? I mean, would you say to them, "Oh my God, you attracted that into your life"? I mean, you can't really do that.
No, I would never say that, and the reason I would never say that is because that sounds a lot like it's your own damn fault that this just happened to you. And mm-hmm. that is not what the law of attraction is about. The law of attraction is about figuring out what it is that's running underneath that you are not aware of that is attracting that into your life. So there is some resistance there that they're not aware of that we can dig up, and if somebody's terminally ill, we may not be able to release it at that point. That is not for me to decide, but there's always going to be something that has been there for a long time, and those kinds of issues are harder to find. The longer they've been there, the harder they are to find because the more normal they feel, and the more we tend to think, well, that's not it. You know, that couldn't possibly have created this huge situation. But there's always something there. But I would never say to somebody, it's your own fault, because taking responsibility in terms of, if there must be something in my vibration, so there's something that it can changes my reality. But taking responsibility for what's in your life is not the same as taking blame for what's in your life. It should feel empowering. It should not feel bad. If it feels bad to you, that means you're blaming yourself. If it feels good, you're empowered by this information. And then now you can say, well, you know what? Let me try to run another program. Let me try to reprogram the software and see if it gets me different results.
Wow, that's perfect. I just want to quickly say, Livia Bliss in the chat room asked a question. I can't find it now, so I will ask. Livia Bliss, could you please ask it again? It was something about if Melody could suggest just one thing that you could use to, and that's where I'm kind of lost. So could you please post that again? So you are listening to The Oliver Show. I'm here with my beautiful guest, Melody Fletcher, my other amazing guest, Salvador Amance, who just gave this month Feng Shui tip. And I'll be back with both of them in just a short moment. Don't go anywhere. We're talking the law of attraction, which is, I think, kind of a subject that it's really interesting. Thank you, Melody, for being here. I really appreciate that. So we'll have more with you. Yeah, we'll have more with you when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Oliver Show here on 1-2 Radio, Changing the Way. I'm in seventh heaven right now because I'm here with my two incredible guests, Melody Fletcher, expert in law of attraction and author of the book Deliberate Receiving, and my dear friend Salvatore Manzi, and he's the author of Life. Why can't I get that right today? Feng Shui Life Mapping. Thank you guys for joining me. There's a lot of law of attraction going on here today.
there definitely is. There always is, Oliver.
I know, and I'd like to sort of just reveal the whole law of attraction around how this show came together today, and maybe Melody, you and Salvatore, you can talk about it, so I can shut up here for a moment. Go for it.
Well, I had just launched my blog February this year, and Salvatore was sort of the first, blogger out there to contact me, and he reached out to me almost immediately and gave me this huge confidence boost and let me write a guest post for his blog, and then, inadvertently introduced me to you, at which point, you asked me to be on your show. So all of it came together very, very easily for me because I didn't really have to do anything, I just manifested.
Well, there must be some kind of a manifestation in all of that. So we are back to Livia Bliss asked a question in the chat room. And Salvatore, I'm sorry, could you please help me out here?
She had asked if you could recommend one way to remove an energy block, I guess open up to the law of attraction, what would that be?
Okay, well, if you just want to do one main thing, I've got it for you, and that is pay attention to how you feel. As I explained, your emotions are your vibrational feedback system. So what you're focusing on will have a frequency, and if that frequency is close to what it is that you want to manifest, it will feel good. If you are focusing on something else inadvertently, and that would include an energy blockage as you're talking, an energy blockage is just that you're holding on to a frequency in your energy body that is not serving you, then it will feel bad. And if you start to focus on how you feel and shift your emotions, shift your thoughts to better feeling thoughts little by little by little, and keep doing that, you will work your way up the vibrational ladder. You will work your way up to higher and higher frequencies until you've surpassed and released that energy blockage.
So, Livia Bliss, does that answer your question? I'm just waiting. I love this. Whenever I ask a question on the radio, I'm always looking at the chat room waiting for an answer, and I keep forgetting, well, we're actually on the radio, and suddenly it's just quiet, right? So, anyway, welcome to live radio. This is where you cannot hide anything. So, Salvatore, I got to ask you, so besides using feng shui to manifest stuff in your life, because I know you've really used it to really work well in your life. Do you resonate with what Melody is talking about? And have you used just the whole idea of paying attention to how you're feeling in order to manifest stuff in your life?
Yes. In fact, in my book, Feng Shui Life Mapping, part of the key to making a feng shui life map or a vision board actually work is the emotional component. So it's not just putting the picture of the ideal guy or the job that you want. It's putting something that represents the emotion that you will feel upon receiving that object in your life. So if your goal is to get that new job, you can think about, how will I feel when I get that new job? I'm going to feel confident. I'm going to feel happy. I'm going to feel like on top of the world. And then on your vision board, instead of putting a picture of the new job, you put a picture of you standing on top of the world, or you put a picture of you confident. Because what that does is it lets the universe know that what you really truly wish to manifest in your life is this feeling of being on top of the world. And instead of being so specific and saying, I need to work for IBM, what the universe is now aware of is like, the universe is going to bring you whatever is going to be in your highest, best nature to bring you the feeling of feeling on top of the world. So it opens you up to unlimited opportunities and manifest them 100 times faster when you focus on the feeling that you get instead of just the object that you want to manifest. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Thank you for that. Yeah. Melody, you wrote an article. I'm not sure that I'm switching gears here, but I really love this article. And you wrote an article on indigo children, but I guess it really is the same, because you talk about vibration in there. There's one point that you're making in the article, and that is, first of all, indigo children, do they exist? And you pretty much say, no, they don't. But are there special children coming in? Yes, of course there is, because the vibration on the earth is shifting. So there's a bigger influx of that coming on. Could you just explain that a little bit? Because I was really fascinated by that article. I think it's actually the latest article that you wrote. And it just made so much sense. If you can talk a little bit about how the vibration on the earth is shifting and how that is all, you know, playing a part in the kits that are coming in today.
Right. I used a little bit of a controversial statement there to get people's attention. You can still call them indigo children if you want. But the point was that there's not these, like, sort of alien kids that are completely different or have different DNA or anything like that coming in. It's all part of the natural evolution that's always been happening. As we go through life here, you know, as we go through life, we pick up generally a lot of limiting beliefs, and our vibrations often get a little bit lower and lower and lower. We feel more limited as we get older. We tend to get a little bit more miserable and unhappy. And then when we die, we absolutely release all of that resistance, all of those limiting beliefs. We don't have to die to do that, but that's generally what happens. And then that allows the vibration of the earth to rise a little bit. And then the new kids that are being born in any generation are being born into a slightly higher vibration than the generation before them. Now, as you raise a frequency in any energy environment, when you raise the frequency, it not only gets higher, it gets faster. It vibrates at a faster frequency. And so all of this is happening. We are rising, and we are rising faster and faster and faster. So the gap, the vibrational gap between the generations is getting bigger and bigger. So every generation is just a little bit more open-minded than their parents were. They're just a little bit more connected than their parents were. And they're a little bit more apt to find who they really are and less apt to conform to the status quo than their parents were. And so the kids that are coming in now, as a whole, we see this difference more than we ever have before because the vibrational gap is bigger than it ever has been before. But people of higher vibration, have higher than average vibration, I should say, have always been around. And these kids, these individuals, have always had it harder than everybody else. And why is that? Because they have pushed against the status quo. They haven't been willing to be on a need-to-know basis. They haven't been willing to just conform. They ask a lot of questions. They're sort of a pain in the hiney for, you know, their teachers and their parents and for politicians. And that's all these indigo children are. Now, they may very well have a different color aura, but it's still all part of the natural evolution of energy that's been going on since the beginning of time.
Wow. Yeah, because I remember that was part of the article that you talked about people, about the kids that are coming in with, you know, with those who are born with a higher than average vibration, that they have a harder time simply because, I mean, that also relates to a lot of the kids today that are being, you know, they're being diagnosed with ADHD and all those, and OCD and whatever it is that's out there. And because they could say that they're just having a harder time living in what you call, in quotation mark, the reality that we're living in right now because their vibration is higher.
Well, yeah, and our education system, unfortunately, was built on the industrial age model. And it just doesn't apply anymore. And these kids, like no generation before them, are just less willing to conform. And what I said in my article was, you know, when the majority of the kids has to be medicated in order to conform to the system, isn't it time to change the system? And that is going to happen. It is happening, and it will definitely happen in our lifetimes that the entire educational system has to be overhauled. Because these kids and the generation that will come after them are simply going to demand to be treated differently.
So do you think those kids that are now coming into this, that are being born these days, do you think, are they better or are they quicker at manifesting and using the law of attraction than perhaps we are? We're the generation just ahead of them, maybe two
they
generations ahead of them.
They don't have any more potential than we do, and I really want to stress that we all have the same potential. They just remember who they are more than we do. But we can remember who we really are, and we can all clean up our vibrations. It's just that they still have more clarity than we do.
Wow. Melody, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show, and I just want to make sure before I let you go, the people, they know where they can find you.
Definitely. You can go to deliberateblog.com or deliberatereceiving.com. They are linked, so if you go to one or the other, you'll get all of it. And you can contact me through the site. You can download the free ebook through the site, or even if you don't want to sign up, you can get free articles, free audio, free video, and free blog posts. There's so much information there to help you understand the law of attraction. But if you want to, you can sign up for the free ebook that will completely and totally explain everything that I've said on the site. And then the Deliberately Thin ebook and course will come out in January. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you will be kept informed about that as well.
Wow, that is amazing. And thank you so much for giving so much stuff away for free that so people can really get started with this in a little bit more down-to-earth way than perhaps The Secret was showing it, you know. So you're giving it definitely a really hands-on kind of approach where, you know, you don't feel that it's completely out of your reach, but you can actually do this and understand it and make it work for you immediately. So thank you for that, Melody.